Welcome to the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast, where we discuss important topics for buyers, sellers, and investors in the Toronto area real estate market. Here's your host, Randy Selzer.
Hello, everybody. It's Randy Selzer here. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. Today, we have another very special guest. Chris Prefontaine is joining us today for the second time. He's come back after an earlier session we did in 2022. Chris is a well-known real estate influencer. He's a real estate coach. He's an investing expert and also a best-selling author. Let me give you some of the titles of the books that he's written here. Real Estate on Your Terms, The New Rules of Real Estate Investing, and Sell with Authority for Real Estate Investors. He's also the founder of Wicked Smart Companies and the host of his own excellent podcast called Smart Real Estate Coach Podcast. Welcome back, Chris. Nice to see you, man. How's it going?
Good to see you, Randy. It's going great. Good to hang out with you again, and I look forward to chatting here. And hopefully while we do that, we'll share some nuggets.
I think there's a good chance of that. So we were just speaking briefly before we started the recording that the last time we talked was towards the end of 2022 when the market has pivoted and changed in a big way because of interest rate increases on both sides of the border. You're in Rhode Island. I'm up here in the Toronto area. But whether it's the US or Canada, we had interest rate rises. And that had a great effect on the market because both markets had been just ballistic for quite a while. And up here in Canada, the market basically has gone sideways, give or take, over the last couple of years. We just had numbers out where prices were up actually slightly. We're still suffering from low inventory, though. And in 2023, actually, the sales in Canada overall were the lowest since 2003. That's a, that's a big drop in sales. So a lot of realtors are suffering. A lot of people are not making the deals that they used to. In the investment front, again, with these changes in interest rates, a lot of cash flow positive properties are now cash flow negative because people have had to, as we discussed the last time, it's a little different up here in Canada where we have to renew the rates every 5 years or so. Whereas in the United States, it's so much simpler. You take out a 30-year mortgage and that's your term for, that's your interest rate for the next 30 years. Here we have to renew. So people are, it's a 30-year term, let's say, but they have to renew it typically every 5 years, in some cases every 3 years. So if the rates go up, they have to renew at a higher rate and it creates a lot of trouble for some people.
I bet.
Having said that, the Canadian banks have been bending over backwards. In the background, it's not a big publicized thing. They've been extending amortizations for renewals, not for new mortgages, extending them out so to keep the payments manageable. But what that ends up with is some people with 50 or 60 year amortizations on their mortgage, which means they're just paying interest. Basically, they're not paying down the principal at all. So that's sort of where we're at. But there's still a lot of positive stuff in the market here. There's still tremendous immigration into Canada, although that's going to cool. I think it is in the process of cooling a bit. We're living in a world where there's a lot of cash out there. There's a lot of people who love real estate from around the world, and certainly people, you know, moving legally to the United States who want to buy a house or a condo. There's plenty of money out there. But in our world up here in Canada, a lot of buyers have just kind of sat on the sidelines. They're waiting. They're waiting for the rates to come down. They're waiting to see if prices are going to be affected any further. Prices seem to have stabilized a bit, and they even bounced up, as I said, just last month a little bit, but on extremely low volume, extremely low volume. So it's a strange kind of market. And this is the time when we need experts to show us what to do. And I know, sir, you are definitely one of the experts in North America, and you also have a tremendous background in finance and how to finance properties. So I'm going to turn it over to you. I tend to ramble on a lot, as you know. Thank you for putting up with that.
No, you're good. You gave me I wrote down four or five things, Randy, already. So I'll hit those in no particular order. As you were going, I said, okay, bingo, there's a couple things there. So you said a few things, and I won't have to go in order here, but you said something about the rental rates because of the mortgages could be detrimental to landlords. I'm paraphrasing. Is that correct? There's some cash flow issues?
Yeah, there is. Even though rental rates are really high here, it's ridiculously high. If you're renting even a condo, a one-bedroom condo, you're looking at $2,500 a month. A two-bedroom condo, probably $3,000 Canadian dollars a month. So it's extremely expensive. In the greater Toronto area, there's a lot of demand here. As you get out further, the rents are lower. But yes, even with $3,000 a month rent, Sometimes it's cash flow negative because they've had to renew their mortgage rates and they've gone from 2% up to 5.5%, let's say. And so their mortgage rates have gone way up or their mortgage payments have gone way up, and they still got to pay taxes and maintenance fees, condo fees.
Let's talk to the landlords then, just for the heck of it. I'll hit a few things here, but okay. Let's talk to the landlords. The landlords, if I were them, and I know I have a renewal coming up every 5 or so, because we have that with our commercial notes. It's no different. Our commercial behave the same way as your residential. Right. I would suggest, if I was in those shoes, I would suggest pivoting a little bit to a rent-to-own agreement with your buyers instead of having tenants in there. Because if you have a rent-to-own agreement with your buyers, and these are done by the hundreds in Canada, then you can tie the maintenance, tie the upkeep, tie everything to their responsibility, number one. Number two, you can tie your review period to some rate increases, so you're not stuck with just a renter. So that's just a thought for the landlords out there, because a lot of landlords are for us, all over North America, but 90% of what we do in is US, they're tired. There's actually a database, Randy, we can buy in the US. Yeah, I know the database is tougher there, that you can buy a tired landlord. So these are some thoughts just for your landlords listening. As far as the individual listening now that says, okay, well, is now a good time to jump into creative real estate? I don't think in 33 years, that's been how long I've been at this, there's been a better time to be in creative real estate because of what you just said. You just hit like 5 things that were not clear, not predictable, not, the market's doing wonky things. When that happens, the buyers and sellers need a guide more than ever. And when you can put your creative real estate hat on and know how to guide them, you know the old saying, you get paid by how many people you can affect positively like that. So in the creative real estate world, you can affect sellers who might be a little bit shy or concerned with the market right now, because we have obviously the media on both sides of the border screaming that things are so bad. Well, they're not bad. You just have to know how to operate inside of them. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And what you're saying is so right on, Chris, that the time to buy is not when you're in a chaos of multiple offers and there's 20 offers on every house that comes on the market and people are in bidding wars paying 100 grand or 200 grand over asking. That's not the best time to buy.
Right.
The best time to buy, I know this that old, I don't know who said it, but the best time to buy real estate is when there's blood in the streets. I don't know if we're going to have blood in the streets, but you get the idea that the best time to buy is when people are a little bit nervous, because that's when you're going to get some bargains, and that's where creative financing can really help you, I think.
Yeah, because you're not, just for the people listening that may be new to it, in your tribe, you're not in any way, shape, form, or way taking out bank loans when you buy creatively. So this is one way for you to not get caught up in the mayhem, I'll call it mayhem, of the traditional buys. And then you mentioned about cash in the sidelines, Randy. I agree with that. Because of that, even though I teach how to buy without cash, if you know there's cash in the sidelines, I just had a gentleman in Canada on my podcast who's been doing real estate there since 86. He's been well seasoned, and he would borrow that private money. Now we don't, we do it with no money down, but can you borrow that private money, buy these homes, and then exit them on a rent-to-own? Yes, he did it by the hundreds. So it's interesting if you're listening now and you know people that have money in the sidelines, because some people don't like to go chase that, right? The personality is just not such that they like to go. But if you know some people, you're well-networked, and there, I agree with Randy, there's plenty of money in the sidelines, then you can buy these properties cash. You'll get in really, really well, and then you'll exit those on rent own. So there's just so many things. We could talk options on one little house here for a half hour, right? The point is, get to know how to operate inside the creative real estate arena, so that when the market does what it does, constantly changing, that's what it does, is one constant in real estate, it changes, you know how to pivot. That's it. The realtors that are sitting on the sidelines, if they're listening, I wrote that down too, because I was a realtor for 18 of my 33 years, right? And I understand the nuances there. If you want to be the expert in your market, you want to be the authority, you want to capture all these things that you're not capturing now, stay what you're doing, tack on creative real estate. And before we get off, remind me, I'll give the link again, Randy, in case someone's didn't hear me a few years ago, we'll give them a book.
Absolutely. And well, thank you. That's great. But definitely we'll put your contact info in the comments, both on YouTube and on the podcast as well. Just a little sidelight. I don't mean to derail you here, but when you talk about the creative financing, I was just talking to somebody yesterday in pre-construction financing. We do a lot of construction here for high-rise condos. Yeah. There are quite a few builders now who are buying down mortgages for a period of a year or sometimes two, so that to pre-sell these condos that haven't been built yet. You know, they're going to be built in 4 years. Let's say it's a high rise, takes a long time to complete. And this never existed 2 to 3 years ago. You couldn't get any concession at all. And now these guys are bending over backwards. So they're going to buy down just like any vendor would buy down a mortgage, which used to happen way back in the early 90s, where they're going to pay it down for, let's say, 12 months. So your mortgage rate is effectively, it goes from 5% down to 3.99. And that's how they're selling. People are saying, well, people are still buying pre-construction. There's a lot of incentives and you don't see it advertised, but they are doing it. Definitely. I had talked to somebody just the other day who was giving me.
Okay. So what did they do? Think about it. They just pivoted. They stayed in the market. They didn't say, oh, I got to close my development down. They just pivoted to creative. I can't stress that enough. You and I were talking earlier, but 5%, man, 5% is still super, super low. I know for a lot of people, they think that's not, but it's super low. Our rates are up in the sevens again right now. And people even freaking out about that, even though the 50-year average is about 7 point something, if you look at the 50-year average. But some of the younger people go, oh, it's way too high. No, it's not high. Everything's relative if you know how to operate inside the creative space.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So people are getting creative, including developers. And landlords are getting creative. Purchasers are getting creative. Sellers are getting creative. Maybe this is definitely a time to take a look at this, because there's ways to make this work. And you, sir, are the expert on it. You really are. So carry on, well, Chris. I'll shut up.
I have a thought about the realtors again, because, and I'm feverishly taking notes as you talk, because I think of new ideas here, because there's an exodus right now, not just where you are, but here in the States, of people jumping out of the business that weren't maybe top producers because of the rates, right?
Yep.
So This is a time for you to, when I was practicing as a realtor and a broker owner, this was a time where I get excited because it does flush out the less active agents. And now if you tack on creative real estate, you're able to go into a home morally and ethically, speak with a seller and say, look, there's some options here. I want to hear your situation and I can either buy it or list and sell it. That's a different conversation than everybody fighting over a listing. It's entirely different. Right. And then how do you think that'll fare as far as them speaking to other people that are on the market when they say, well, I met this agent that he also could buy my house? That's an entirely different situation, different conversation that you can have. And then you're driving, you're not only getting not getting out of the business, you're getting driving referrals big time. And you become the authority in the marketplace.
Well, you're absolutely right. There are people leaving the business here. There's a lot of agents. You're right. They were maybe part-time. They had another job and then do one or two deals a year. Just to their relatives and sell a house to their uncle once a year or something. And for those guys, it's just too expensive, you know, and to renew your license and to have it, they just got rid of it. But there are also agents that used to do 10 deals a year who last year did 3. And they're questioning it as well. They go, why am I doing this, working 7 days a week? So it is good, I think, for the health of the industry overall. Because there's always going to be top producers. There's always going to be big teams that are dominant in their marketplace because they know how to do it. They know how to do it. They know how to scale their business. But I think definitely in the interest rate environment that we're in today, and we're just recording this the day that the Bank of Canada made their April announcement, where a lot of people, including pundits on TV, so-called experts, were saying, oh, they're going to start reducing rates. They have to. Well, guess what? They didn't. They stayed the course. And the other thing I will say to our Canadian listeners here, it's not just a case of they're fighting inflation. Every country in the world is interconnected, and certainly between Canada and the U.S. And there are some fundamental differences between the Canadian and the U.S. economy right now. The U.S. economy is really strong, like amazingly. You know, they're just chugging along on all cylinders right now. And we are not. In the U.S., because the economy is so strong, there's a lot of strength in wages and everything. There's a definite chance that inflation could go up again in the USA. So I think the chances of the Fed in the U.S. lowering interest rates are pretty, pretty slim to none. They're not going to lower interest rates if the economy is already overheated. In fact, there was some talk I heard somewhere that they may raise rates in the U.S., because Canada and the U.S. are so closely interconnected, as we are with other countries as well, if we were to lower rates here and the U.S. raises rates, our Canadian dollar will go to 50 cents. I mean, it's ridiculous. And for some reason, our economy here is much weaker than the USA. I think we're actually in a recession, but what are you going to do? It's an interesting time to be alive. I don't know if there's blood in the streets, but man, when I look around right now, there seems to be a lot of opportunities that are starting to kind of poke through. And so tell us a little more, Chris, about you got some very interesting strategies to purchase property that you've been doing for many years now.
I'll go over a few, and then you just made me think of the other person I want to, you know, kind of shout out to here, and that is the person that wants to buy their own home. Like, I'm talking about realtors, and I'm talking about investors, and that's a good skill set to add to your bag of tricks. But I will tell you that as a homeowner, when you learn creative real estate and you just buy your own home over the next 5 years, my son-in-law did that. My son's looking for one now. We specifically will look for properties that are free and clear, no mortgage on them, so that we can structure one of our ways we buy. So I'll segue into your question. One of the ways we buy is through owner financing, vendor take back in Canada. So that is super popular, and people now are reaching out asking for that because of what's going on with the banks. So let me just paint a picture. Let's say you run across a seller who's free and clear, who has no mortgage on the property, so they don't presumably need the money today, but they want the best price. And because the market's a little unpredictable, they're not going to get the best price on the open market, and they might have to pay a realtor. So you come in and you pay their price. How can you pay their price top dollar? Because you're going to structure monthly principal only payments to them. You give them their price. They give you the term, meaning a nice long term, maybe 5 or 10 years. You don't have any review period. They're not a bank. You're just paying them as the seller, the vendor take back. That's a powerful strategy, Randy, only because I just outlined if it's their own home, great. But you can go through that without going through banking, which is a lot easier. But what if as an investor, you could learn how to buy those free and clear properties? It's one of the niches that we focus on. And over the course of 4 years, create a six-figure, all three paydays. As you know, we have three paydays in our deals. Create a six-figure, all three payday deal. That's what you can do on homes anywhere from 200,000 to a couple million. So that's just to get everybody thinking. Again, we're not trying to teach a seminar here, but what we are trying to do is put a little bit out there to get you thinking a little bit outside the box while the media and the banks and everybody else are screaming and they don't know what to do. Get laser focused on how to buy these.
I hear you, man. I do. All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. Okay. All right. I'll let you carry on. Honestly, I ramble way too much. So you carry on, sir.
Let's hit the other way we buy, because there's a gentleman in Quebec that is in our community. Matthew owns a brokerage, actually, speaking of realtors, and drives down to all our events. Why? Because he wants to do what I just said that people can do and be unique, be the authority, be able to operate in any market. One of the things he's focusing on is lease purchase up there. Mm-hmm. So lease purchase, you don't even have to take over ownership. Our contracts are already pre-written with literally a $10 deposit, $10, Randy. So you can control this property without putting gobs of money out. And then you turn around and you put a rent to own. I'll call it a client, but it's not your client. You're not a realtor unless you are. I'm just an investor now, but a rent to own buyer in that property.
Right.
That is far different than trying to come out of pocket for closing costs, trying to rent and have landlord headaches. You're putting a buyer who just deserves a little time because the rates are a little bit weird to save up more money or to get more qualified with the banks, et cetera. So that's another strategy, owner financing, on free and clear, or lease purchase with properties that already have mortgages on them.
Those I think are both great, strategies right now for sure. So if you're, let's say you have somebody who's a tenant who is very interested in buying the property but they can't afford it just yet. They don't have enough down payment, and you want to set up what we would call a rent to own, scenario up here. They're already your tenant. They're already in there, but they say, look, we'd love to buy this house. We'd love to buy it. We're just not ready, but we'd like to lock it in. You know, can we do something here? How does a homeowner set something like that up?
Okay, good question. I'm usually not taking existing tenants and converting them, although we have, so I'll give an example in a minute. I'm usually waiting till that tenancy is done and then moving in a qualified tenant buyer. And you might say, well, that can we make them one? Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
If there's a tenant in a home and I'm talking to the landlord who wants to get out, I will say, do you want us to inherit the property? Inherit the tenant when we buy the property? And if they say, no, I'll wait till I get them out, great, I'll start from scratch. But if they say, yeah, I'd love you to go talk to them and see if they're qualified, We're going to put them through the same process, Randy. They're going to go through a third party check so we can see how strong they are financially. They, to your point, they might not be strong today. It's okay. Are they on a pathway where they can over time save more, get stronger for banking reasons, and buy that home? That's all we want to know. And there's a set process without going into that because that's an hour. But there's a set buyer qualification process that's not going to the bank, but is getting them set up to go through a bank in 2 to 4 years. So yes, you can still confirm. It's just that my experience has been a lot of the tenants in the homes are tenants in the homes because they don't have the down payment. And if they don't have the down payment and they can't borrow from someone, then that gets a little bit tough because then they're just a renter still. And I just did a full circle on you because you want true buyers who do have some cash, but aren't qualified yet for a mortgage. That's okay. Who truly is a good rent-to-own person, so you don't have a default.
Okay. When you're talking about having some cash, would that be like $10,000, $20,000, something, or would it be more? What would you be looking for typically?
Yeah. In the States, it's 3 to 10% as long as we have a plan to get them up to at least 10. If it's okay. What we call in the States a jumbo loan, we're going to want them up to 20. In Canada, the beauty of the lease purchases and the deals we do there is that I understand that most Canadians are used to a larger down payment and when they go to a bank. So that helps the rent to own tremendously. Because what if you could start them at 10% with a game plan to work it up to 20% over time? That's okay. A big win for them. They can't do that with a bank. That's a great example of a pathway for a deserved, someone who's got everything else in order, a good job, whatever, right. For a deserved tenant buyer.
So would you then typically increase the rent, what it normally the market rent would be so much, and then you would add a little bit more in there too, and that portion would add towards the down payment? Is that how it works?
You can. Good question. We don't give credit for down payment unless it's set up totally separate. For banking reasons, we want to keep it separate. But yes, you can. You can have the buyer meeting, and we have the scripts, but you'll have the buyer meeting. You'll say, hey, Randy, okay, so the rent is $2,500. Could you see yourself coming up with X amount, or what could you see yourself coming up with that for extra payments every month? And they'll usually spit something out like, well, I have a raise coming up, or I have a refund coming up, or yes, I could squeeze out this much more for my bonuses. Whatever it might be, we set that up on a schedule so they can increase over time their down payment. Look, it gets them more vested in the house, right. It gets them more committed, and it provides the investor extra cash flow.
What happens, okay, to play devil's advocate, what happens if they default or something screws up and then they change their mind, or what happens then? Or let's say they default, they can't do it anymore.
We do have about a 2 to 10% default rate. If you speak to a lot, you go online right now and you find people that don't qualify the buyer's property and they have a very high default rate. And frankly, they don't care. But in our world, we try to set the buyers up to win. I don't know how you could, as an investor, live with yourself if you didn't. We set them up to win. So let's address the default, the 2 to 10%. You have a couple options. When, say, you're my buyer and I am able to look at the portal of this third-party company who helps you get to the mortgage-ready point. So if you jump off the program, so to speak, and you're supposed to be on this to get you mortgage-ready, I know that. So it's not going to be in the nth hour before you're supposed to take the seller out of this deal. You're going to know all along and work out a plan with them, or you're going to get them out and resell the property rent to own, or resell it conventionally. It's okay. Either way, there's a bunch of different pivots you can make. During COVID, we had about 70, 72 maybe properties in a rent to own status. That's a lot. Now, if I was a landlord, I'd be in a panic because they had all the different laws where people could stop paying, right? We had 3 or 4 headaches during that 70 or 72 properties because they legitimately were affected by COVID. This is worth mentioning. I don't care where you are in the world. If you're doing a rent to own with a deserved buyer who needs time versus renting, they behave differently. They pay for things differently. They take care of the property differently. And when a crisis like that happened, they knew they had to keep paying. Why? Because that's going to qualify them for the loan eventually. You can't just stop paying. Just like you could on some mortgages during that crisis, but you can't in the rent to own program where you won't eventually qualify. So it's much better to be in that situation instead of being a rent landlord, just renting.
We've been through a lot over the last few years, haven't we? First with the pandemic, and then with the interest rates, and now the uncertainties in the market, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. It's an interesting time for sure. So, well, that's very interesting. And I know you mentioned Matthew in Quebec, so you're in Rhode Island, and you're definitely US-based, but you also have a pretty prominent presence in Canada as well. So these strategies work in both countries. They work in both. The regulations might be slightly different, and Canada, of course, always has more red tape than the US, and you guys have way more transparency. than we do. Like you have websites where you can look up, you know, tired landlords. That probably doesn't exist in Canada. It's just Canada. What can I say?
Right.
Everything's
hidden.
That is
the big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're right. That the data is a big difference. So that's why the realtors have a leg up on that. Yeah, the strategies work. I don't care if you're in UK. I don't care where you are. They work. Mm-hmm. To your point, just some nuances. I told you the gentleman I had on the podcast had been doing this for 30 something years.
Yeah.
And there's another one very prominent in Canada that has his own podcast that also has been doing it as long as me. So it's just a matter of you linking up with the right sources, and we'll help you do that.
So let's change gears a little bit here. You've been in the industry more than 30 years. I just hit 30 years, actually. Where do you see the United States real estate market headed over the next 12 to 24 months? It's such an interesting time. The economy is really good in the U.S. Prices are high, especially in certain cities, but not in other cities. Where do you see things headed in the USA in terms of real estate over the next, let's say, 24 months?
It's by far the most popular question, but even the billionaires
don't know.
I won't
hold you to it. Okay, I won't hold you to it.
But you're right.
But as a
nobody
seasoned,
knows.
Nobody has a crystal ball, that's for sure. I'll tell you first what I think. I'm actually feeling positive. I actually am. I think there's a lot of doom and gloomers out there. And yet I look around and like I said at the beginning, there seems to be a lot of money in the world. There is. It's floating around looking for a place to go, and everybody has to live somewhere. And that's my take on it. And I think all these doom and gloomers are missing the point that, yeah.
No, I agree. I did a recent, to your point with the doom and gloomers, I did a recent, I think it was a solo cast, but it might've just been a video on YouTube, but they could find it either way. And what I did is I listed about 8 headlines that went back to like 2016 through a little while ago. And what the so-called experts in the media were saying was going to happen. None of it happened. In fact, some of it was so diverse from what they said, it was crazy. So instead of saying, here's what I know is going to happen, because I don't, nobody does, I'm going to go back to sound like a broken record and say, the way you don't care about that and the way you stay optimistic like Randy and I is you get to know how to operate in any market, period. And then you're not worried about it. You're not caught up in it. I don't watch the news. I don't get caught up in that crap because it's not important. What's important is you knowing how to pivot in real estate. It's been around. Look, creative real estate, Randy, has been done as far back. I used to say 1800s. Now it's 1600s in New York City before banking. And I read that in the Vanderbilt book. So this is not new. Get good at it and be able to be happy about operating in any market. And I mean, we'll give them the book. I said that. I'll give you the link in a minute. But that won't give them, you know, the different diversities between the countries or anything, but it's going to give them the basics so they can feel comfortable. You want me to drop that link? I can give you that link.
Absolutely.
Go to Wicked Smart Books, wickedsmartbooks.com/Randy and the numeric number 1. So we know it's Randy's tribe. We honor that. It's a free book, wickedsmartbooks.com/Randy1.
Amazing. Thank you, sir. That's great. I hope you get a gazillion orders off of that. That's good.
I hope we do too.
We'll see. Yeah.
We send the real thing too. So, and even if it's in Canada, we send the real book. So you guys are in for a treat.
Thank you, man. That's a great offer. Very generous. Thank you so much. So listen, we should do this more often, not just every 2 years. You know, we have a lot in common. We talked about the fact we were both Mike Ferry acolytes for many years. And for those of you listening in or not done, where he still is a real estate coach, although he might be retired. His sons have carried on with it.
Both his sons are doing their thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And he was at Mike Ferry. He's a great guy. Great guy. And so you and I have that in common. And what do you know? We've both lasted all this time in real estate. I wonder if there's a common theme there.
Just,
interesting.
Just do what we just talked about, right?
Exactly. So if you're in Canada listening to the podcast today or watching us on YouTube, I urge you to check the links that are going to be underneath the broadcast and to contact Chris, because this stuff works. If you're Canadian or if you're American, it works for either country. It would work for any country. If you're, like you said, if you're in the UK, it's worth checking out. And that is a very generous offer. You can get your free book just by checking the link, which I will add as well. Wickedsmartbooks.com/Randy1. And we'll get, they will get them posted out to you. So there you go, folks. Chris, always a pleasure, sir. And that's the thing. This is the time, I believe, that people need to get creative because there's opportunity out there. And I truly believe that 3 years ago, when multiple offers were going crazy on everything, and people were overpaying for everything, and the banks were approving everything, which is another story. That's another story for another time. That's not the best time to buy. The best time to buy is when people are nervous and holding back. Prices are a little bit more reasonable. And I think we might be onto something here, sir.
That's right. We'll come back in 9 months or 12 months if you'll have me. We'll chat
anytime,
and see where we are.
Chris, anytime. Nice to have you on board today, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Okay. Randy. Have a great afternoon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode, the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast. Follow us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And check out our main website at randyselzer.com for much more valuable info on the Canadian real estate scene.